At the end of our reading this afternoon, we were challenged as to our preparedness to take a stand for the Lord. We saw this man who was born blind, prepared to stand for the Lord and to be with him in that outside place. And I've been challenged this week as we've considered these signs of John's Gospel as to what my response is. And the Lord has laid some verses upon my heart, and I wish to, with the Lord's help, share them with you, because I believe the Lord would have me bring this before you also. At the end of John's Gospel, John makes these same challenges to us. In chapter 18 and 19, we read of three of the Lord's disciples who took a stand. They are seen standing with a group. And I'd like briefly to speak on these three men, and perhaps also on three occasions where we see the Lord also standing in resurrection. The first, we heard about him already this week, Judas. John chapter 18. We'd read from verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, who betrayed him, stood with them. Judas, we heard, had made a decision. And here we see him standing with these men. The character of these men we see a little later on in verse 22. This is when the Lord had spoken, one of the officers who stood by, another man standing, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? The men who Judas chose to stand with, what of this character? They persecuted and rejected the Lord without cause, or there was a cause, of course, but not anything in the Lord. It was in their own hearts. We had on Lord's Day, Judas, in chapter 13, we read that he went out and it was night. It was still night here. And sadly for Judas, it will be night for all eternity. There's nothing really more we can say concerning this man. He took a stand with those who rejected the Lord. And all I can do really is reecho what we had on Lord's Day. A desire that no one here, or those who are listening to a recording now, make this stand, standing with those that are rejecting the Lord. But we read of two other men who are standing with groups at the end, and perhaps we can look at them in verse 15. We read of Simon Peter. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then went out that other disciple who was known unto the high priest and spoke unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then said the maid that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Verse 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crowed. Peter also took a stand here. There was another disciple who went in and brought Peter in. But as Peter was entering, this maid at the door asked him a simple question. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And it seemed to bring Peter up short. He didn't go in with this other disciple. He turned aside. And there stood with these servants and officers, possibly the same men we've read of with Judas. And they were standing by this fire, for it was cold. But there's a difference between Peter and Judas. Peter was a true disciple. And we often speak of these three denials. And then later on we have the three times the Lord asks him about his love for him. And there is restoration for Peter. But we find Peter here not going in to stand with the Lord as his other disciple. He seems to lack courage, lack faith. And he turns aside and stands by this fire to try to warm himself. But it never says that he was warmed. Peter was in this world, and the world is a cold place. And we cannot warm ourselves, seek to be warmed in this world. I think we have to compare it to another example in the next chapter, where we have a third man who is seen standing. In chapter 19, verse 25, we read, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her at his own home. So we have a third man now, another disciple, and he is standing as well, but he is standing by the cross. He is standing with these devoted women, these sisters in the Lord, taking his place there. And he gets this wonderful commission. Now we might have wondered why it doesn't say, and the disciple who loved the Lord stood by. If we'd ask the question, who would have been the one to stand by the cross here? Well, we'd say it's the one who loves the Lord. But John doesn't say that. Peter was the one who said, I love the Lord. Even if all else, they all go, I won't. He was trusting in his own love. Perhaps that's why he failed. But this disciple, we have it five times, I believe, in this gospel. We believe it, John, believe it to be the writer of the gospel. And he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Doesn't mean that the Lord didn't love the other disciples. Doesn't mean that he loved John more than the others. The Lord loved all the disciples perfectly. But he was conscious of the Lord's love for him. And this is what enabled him to do what Peter couldn't do and to come out and share this place, the Lord's rejection. He didn't trust his own love. His strength was in the Lord's love for him, his consciousness of this. So we have three people taking a stand. We have Judas, we have Peter, and we have the disciple whom Jesus loved. But if we go a little further into the next chapter, we see several more people that are standing. Verse 11, we have Mary standing outside the sepulchre. And in verse 14, she turns herself and sees Jesus standing. And the Lord reveals himself to her with one word in verse 16, Mary. And to her, he gives this wonderful word in verse 17. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. We also see a little later on, we'll come to it on the last reading, chapter 21, verse 4. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. And looking out upon the disciples, fishing, but they caught nothing. And without wanting to preempt things, we get to verse 6. The Lord asked them to cast the net on the right side of the boat. And when they do so, they catch a great multitude of fish. The Lord is directing and bringing or making our lives fruitful in service. And then back in chapter 20, we see the Lord standing in the midst. Not on two occasions, but I think we can treat it as one, because we know everything happens in three in John's Gospel. And I think it's two parts of the same truth. The Lord is standing in the midst in verse 19. When Thomas was absent. And then after 8 days in verse 26, again he stood in the midst and gave the same word, peace be unto you. The Lord in the midst, a wonderful truth. But I think we can link it with what we had before. If we are to know the reality of our relationship to God as Father, if we are to be fruitful in service, if we are to enjoy the Lord standing in the midst when we come together, we are not going to be in enjoyment of these unless we are prepared to take a stand at the cross. To separate from this world and to accept the place the Lord has as rejected. We've mentioned again the start of this gospel, the Lord is rejected from the start. Now the challenge to us is, are we prepared to accept the Lord's place? We had in John 9, this man who was born blind. One thing I know, he said. One thing I know. And perhaps we can apply this to this verse here. This man who is standing by the cross, the disciple whom Jesus loved. For the man in John 9 also spoke himself as a disciple. Will you also be my disciples? One thing this man knew, that the Lord loved him, and that enabled him to stand by the cross of Jesus. May we be exercised to take this place, to stand by the cross of Jesus, to accept the place of rejection in this world. Because if we do, what wonderful blessings come out in that last chapter. To know God as Father. The enjoyment of that. Again, John's Gospel, we haven't said much about it, but it's full of the revelation of God as Father. Fruitfulness in service, the Lord being in the midst, wonderful blessings, but we won't be able to enjoy them unless we stand by the cross. May it be so for his name's sake.